بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده تعالى ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، أوصيكم به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، ويا أيها الإخوة الكرام، after thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I thank my dear and beloved brothers at Markaz Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak for extending this generous invitation, and I ask Allah ta'ala the Most High that He makes this event a beneficial event, an event that will be beneficial for the attendees, for the organizers, and for those that are taking part in the seminar. Allah Ta'ala, He has said in His book, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Spend from what we have provided you with before death reaches one of you. فَيَقُولُ رَبِّ لَوْ لَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ فَأَصَّدَّقُ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Spend from what you have been provided with before death comes to one of you. And then he'll say, the person will say, رَبِّ, my Lord, delay my death for a short period of time. Why? So that I can give in charity and be from the righteous. وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. وَاللَّهُ خَلَالَتِي. We must all acknowledge and prepare for the reality of our death. Departure of your soul from your body and relocating into another life, the life of al-barzakh. That is a reality that you have to except it's an event that you will have to go through. Death is an appointed end. Death is a fate that you have no choice but to face. And you'll be facing it. I'll be facing it. Our loved ones will be facing it very, very, very soon. Allahu Jalla wa Ala, in this ayah, He informs us of the fact that some people act that remorse for having missed something in life. They'll be crying out in regret and remorse for having failed in doing something in this life, failed in seizing a certain opportunity that they had in this life. The opportunity of what? The opportunity of spending. The opportunity of giving for the sake of Allah, in the path of Allah. The opportunity of being charitable to earn the pleasure of their Rabb, the Most High. This ayah, therefore, it highlights to us the great significance of charity, the great value that charity holds for you, the Muslim. Likewise, our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he also highlighted this point, and he cautioned us concerning failing to act upon this matter. He cautioned us and he advised us because he wanted good for us, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said in the hadith recorded by al-Bukhari in his Sahih, the hadith of Adi ibn Hatim, مَا مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانُ مَا مِنْكُمْ أَحَدْ إِلَّا سَيُكَلِّمُهُ رَبُّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانُ There is nobody among you except that his Rabb is going to speak to him without there being an interpreter between the two. Allah Ta'ala, on the Day of Judgment, He will speak to you directly. فَيَنْظُرْ أَيْمَنْ مِنْهُ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمَ مِنْ عَمَلِهِ So he looks to his left, the person he looks to his right, and he can't see anything, he doesn't see anything there, except his actions, except his deeds, what he did in this life. وَيَنْظُرْ أَشْأَمْ مِنْهُ لَا يَرَى إِلَّا مَا قَدَّمْ He looks to his left, and he can't see anything, except what he has put forth, the actions, the deed that he did in this life. وَيَنْظُرْ بَيْنَا يَدَيْهِ فَلَا يَرَى إِلَّا النَّارِ تِلْقَاءَ وَجْهِهِ And then he looks in front of him and he sees nothing except the fire facing him, the fire in front of his face. أَتَّقُ النَّارُ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ So fear the fire, your messenger advises. Fear the fire even by half a date. Meaning, fear the fire of hell. Save yourself from the fire of hell by giving in charity. By giving in charity something even as small as half a date. So this, Ya Abdullah, this is where we are heading. The life that we have lived so far and the remainder of the life that we have, all of that, it is a build-up to that momentous event of standing in front of our Rabb, Jalla wa Ala. After seeing the fire of hell, seeing the fire of hell, that is something that we have been promised that we will see. وَمَا مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا There is nobody among you except that he will pass over it. Allah Ta'ala tells us, every single one of us will see the fire of hell. Every single one of us will pass over the bridge on the fire of hell. We'll see the fire of hell. And if Allah Jalla wa Ala has mercy upon us, then the thing of the fire of hell will one day become a thing of the past. Shahid Barakallahu Feekum, the point is that day that will be a day of relief for many people, and at the same time it will be a day of regret for another group of people. Your Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, he directs you to a certain path. A path, if you adopt it, if you take it, it will secure for you. It will secure for you relief and salvation on that day. A path, if you take it, it will be a means of you being saved from the hellfire on that day. Your Messenger in this hadith, he directs you to a path that is easy. He directs you to a path that is easy to take. A path that is accessible to you. A path, if you take it, you're not going to find it to be hard and difficult and something that takes toil and labor. Your Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he directs you to a path, the path of charity. Save yourselves from regret on that day by giving in charity today. secure for yourself relief on that day by giving in charity for the sake of Allah. Today, your Messenger, he highlights to us the great significance, the great importance of charity. He, alayhi salatu wasalam, was nasih, ameen. He was a sincere advisor for you. He was a trustworthy advisor for you. He was concerned about you, your welfare, as far as your akhirah is concerned. And so he directs you to a path that is great, and it is mighty, and it is effective in being saved on that great and tremendous, awful day, the path of charity. Why is charity so great? Why does charity have so much value? Because sadaqah is a burhan. The Messenger told us sadaqah is a proof. It's an evidence. It's a proof of iman. Iman that is established in a certain heart. A heart that is strong. A heart that is azim. A heart that is great. A heart that is brave, as ulama mentioned. That generosity and courage, they are connected, just like stinginess and being a coward, they are connected. So a heart, that heart that is charitable, that heart that is generous, that heart that is giving, that is the heart of a man who will give sadaqah, the one that is characterized with generosity, the one that is open-handed. Not the heart of a man or a woman that is tight-fisted and thinly and miserly. This characteristic, Ya Abdullah, the characteristic of generosity, it is something that is tremendous. The impact that generosity can have upon the slave is something that is azim. There are effects and fruits that are brought about as a result of being generous in the akhirah for you. And there are fruits that you can taste and enjoy in this life, in the worldly life, as a result of being a generous person. As far as your akhirah is concerned, your afterlife is concerned, then sadaqah and being a generous person is a means of salvation from hell. It is a means of entry into a Jannah, into a paradise that is eternal, a paradise that is everlasting, a paradise that will never, ever, ever cease to exist. Hatta on the day of judgment even, on the day of judgment, you will benefit from being a generous person in this life. Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, إِنَّ الصَّدَقَةَ لَتُطْفِئُ عَنْ أَهْلِهَا حَرَّ الْقُبُورُ. Indeed, charity extinguishes the heat of the grave for the people, the inhabitants of the grave. وَإِنَّمَا يَسْتَظِلُّ الْمُؤْمِنِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي ظِلِّ صَدَقَتِهِ. And indeed, the believer, he will be in a shame on the day of judgment as a result of his charity. Narration being authenticated by Imam Al-Albani in Silsilat al-Hadith al-Sahihah. So these are the benefits, the great and tremendous benefits that you can have in the afterlife as a result of being a generous person. But likewise, in this life, the worldly life, the life of the dunya, the current life that you're in right now, in this life you can also enjoy many benefits as a result of being a generous person. The impact that generosity has upon you is that it will open up so many doors of goodness to come and enter into your life, have a great impact upon your worldly life. So many benefits and so many doorways will be open for you that no intelligent and wise human being to be heedless of. Al-Allamah Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he speaks about this point in his book Zad al-Ma'ad, a biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In this book he had a certain section. The section is أصل أسباب انشراح الصدر. A section that is dedicated to the ways of expanding one's chest, meaning the ways of relaxing and relieving the chest from the tightness that it feels, lifting the heavy burden from the chest that it feels, remedying the heart, the soul, from the discomfort and the dissatisfaction that they may feel. So then Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions several asbab, several ways and means and avenues by way of which the person can attain this inshirah al-sadr, this expansion of his chest, remedying the tightness that a person feels. Every single human being at one time in his life or another experiences some type of dhiq, some type of restriction and tightness in his chest, some type of uneasiness in his mind, some type of dissatisfaction and discomfort inside of his soul. And so Ibn al-Qayyim, he mentioned some of the asbab, some of the way to alleviate your chest from that burden. At the head of them is tawheed. Without tawheed, it's impossible for a person to attain that inshirah the sadr, that relaxation and relief and expansion of the chest. Without tawheed, a person is going to live a very dark, distressed, and gloomy and tight and constricted life. Now, among the asbab that Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala mentions in this section is al-karam, is generosity. He says that indeed the generous and the benevolent individual, he has the most alleviated of chest, the most expansive of chests, the best spirit, and he has the greatest peace of mind. Then Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, the stingy one, however, the one who has no characteristic of benevolence, this type of person has the most constricted of chest among mankind. He lives the most bitter of lives among mankind, being the saddest and the most distressed out of them. Al-Karam barakallahu feekum. Generosity, it is a powerful and effective means of bringing about relief, relaxation, and expansion to one's chest. And the only man to ever be at the peak of enjoying this state, the only man to be the most perfect in enjoying delight of the eye, in enjoying the relaxation of the soul, the peace of mind, the only man that was at the peak of having a wide, expansive chest was our Nabi, was our Rasul, was Al-Mustafa, Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi salatu wassalam. He was the most perfect of creation in having an expansive chest. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most perfect of creation in lightheartedness. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most perfect of creation in enjoying the light of the eye and tranquility of the soul. Now every single person desires to have some of that. I desire to have some of what he alayhi salatu wa sallam had, of inshirah al-sadr, of that expansion, relaxation of the chest. You, may Allah bless you all want and desire to have something of that inshirah al-sadr that the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam had. We, the followers of al-Mustafa, we desire that. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned something very, very important about this point. He said that the followers of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the followers of the Prophet, depending upon the degree that they follow him, shall they attain a proportionate amount of that inshirah as-sadr that the Messenger had. Depending upon how much the followers follow the Prophet, then in accordance to that, the followers will receive a proportionate amount of that relaxation of the chest that the Messenger had. How closely you follow an Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how much you emulate the sunnah, emulate him and take his footsteps sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how strictly and earnestly you adhere to his sunnah, all of that will be the deciding factor, the crucial factor in determining how much of that relaxation of the chest you the slave, you the follower, shall attain, depending upon how strictly and how closely and how accurately you follow him. Depending upon all of that, will you receive an equivalent amount of that relaxation of the chest, that peace of mind, that joy and delight of the heart. And among those matters that you are to emulate Ar-Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam in is his karam, is his generosity. Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he was the most perfect of creation in receiving protection from Allah, in receiving strength from Allah, in receiving defense and victory from Allah Azza wa Jal. Now ask yourself, do you want something of that protection? Do you want something of that strength? Do you want something of the granting of the victory that the Messenger was given? Do you want something of that defense from Allah Ta'ala, like the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was defended by him? You can have a portion of that. All of that depends upon how much you follow him, how closely you take it, how closely you follow his sunnah, how accurately and precisely you follow the footsteps of Al-Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam. And among those matters that you should follow him in is his karam, is his generosity. Generosity, ya Allah, it will have such positive effects upon your life, your current life, your worldly life. Such a massive impact, such an impact upon your life that you won't even be able to see and perceive. There'll be benefits that you'll be enjoying because you're a generous person without you even knowing that you're the recipient of those benefits. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, in Bada'i al-Fawa'id, he said concerning this matter, he said, فَالْمُحْسَنَ الْمُتَصَدِّقِ يَسْتَخْدِمُ جُنْدًا وَعَسْكَرًا يُقَاتِلُونَ عَنْهُ وَهُوَ نَائِمْ عَلَىٰ فِرَاشِهِ. He said that the generous, charitable person, he has at his disposal an army. The charitable, generous, giving person has at his disposal an army. He has an army. He has troops. He has a troop of soldiers that are fighting for him while he is fast asleep upon his bed. Allah. Allahu Ta'ala, because you're a generous person, because you're a giving person, not a tight-fisted, stingy person, rather because you're a generous person, Allah Jalla wa Ala, he has angels that are fighting for you, angels that are repelling harm from you, angels that are fending off your enemies while you are fast asleep upon your nice, comfortable mattress. Why? Because of the fact that you are a generous man. Because of the fact that you are a generous woman. not someone who's tight, not someone who's stingy, not someone who's miserly, but someone who's giving. This, Ya Abdullah, should be sufficient. When you realize that these are the effects of being charitable, that Allah Jalla wa Ala is protecting you, Allah Ta'ala is aiding you, then why not? Why not follow the footsteps of Al-Mustafa alayhi salatu wasalam and become a generous, giving, charitable follower of his, in addition to how much benefit you will get in the afterlife? And that is enough, that is sufficient. But Allah Ta'ala, by his fadl, by his generosity, he benefits you even further for being a generous person, your worldly life. And so follow An-Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in being a generous person. Your great Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was a very, very generous person. He was someone who would not refuse if he was asked for something. The companions, they mention that if the Prophet was asked for something, he would not refuse, as has been mentioned in the narration of Musa ibn Anas, from the authority of his father, recorded by Muslim in his Sahih. A man came to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam asking him. The Messenger, he gives him the ghanam, the cattle, between two mountains. So the man, he takes the ghanam, he takes the cattle, he goes to his people and he says, Ya qawm, aslimu, O people, embrace Islam. فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا يُعْطِي عَطَاءً لَا يَخْشَ الْفَاقَةً. For indeed Muhammad, he gives the giving of a man who fears no poverty. This was Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. This is how he was generous, not fearing poverty. On an occasion, a woman, as has been recorded by Bukhari in his Sahih, a woman, she gave the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam a shamla, a mantle, a cloak, a garment that is worn on the body. She gave this to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and she said, Ya Rasulullah, aksuka iya'a, aksuka hadihi, I am giving this to you for you to wear. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he took it, and as the narrator of the hadith, he said, he took it muhtajan ilayha. The Messenger took this garment, this mantle, this cloak, while he was in need of it. A man from the companions, he saw this. He saw that the Messenger was granted this garment. So then he asked the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, Ma ahsan hadihi, O Messenger of Allah, how beautiful is this? Fabsuniha, therefore let me wear it. Give it to me. I want to wear it. I want to take it. I want it for me. What does the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam say? He says, Na'am. Yes. The Messenger gives the man from the companions, he gives him the shamla. He gives him the cloak. And now when the Messenger has stood and he has left, the Sahaba, the rest of the Sahaba, they said to this Sahabi, they said, مَا أَحْسَنْتَ حِينَ رَأَيْتَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم أَخَذَهَا مُحْتَاجًا إِلَيْهَا ثُمَّ سَأَلْتَهُ إِيَاهَا وَقَدْ عَرَفْتَ أَنَّهُ لَا يُسْأَلُ شَيْئًا فَيَمْنَعُهُ. The companions, they said to this man, you didn't do correct. Did not do well. That was not correct. When you saw that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he's wearing it. You saw that the Messenger is wearing it, and then you asked him for it, knowing that he needs it. And so this companion, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to them in response, he said, رَجَوْتُ بَرَكَتَهَا حِينَ لَبِسَهَا النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He justified it like that. I hoped in the barakah of the shamla. I hoped in the barakah of the mantle, of the cloak. And I saw that the messenger had worn it. لَعَلِّي أُكَفَّنُ فِيهَا. I hope to be shrouded in it. Meaning, I hope that this will be my shroud when I'm lowered into my grave. Ash-shahid barakallahu feekum. The point is, you can clearly see how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he was a generous person. He was a giving person. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not someone who had stinginess to him. Hasha alayhi salatu wasalam. And he embedded this characteristic in the hearts of the companions. This is what he nurtured the companions upon. Not only did he nurture them upon sadaqah, embed in their hearts the characteristic of being generous, rather he made them love being generous. He made them love to spend in the path of Allah. He made them love to spend in order to earn the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Abu Talha Al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a companion who had the most amount of palm trees in Al-Madinah. He had the most amount of orchards in Al-Madinah. And one of the orchards that he had was Bayraha, which faced the masjid of the Prophet. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would enter into this orchard, Bayraha, and he would drink from its pure water, as has been recorded in Bukhari. So then Allah Ta'ala, he reveals the ayah, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You shall not attain al-birr. You shall not attain al-birr, meaning the fruits of righteousness, the results of righteousness. And as some of the mufassireen have mentioned, you will not attain al-jannah, meaning you will not attain jannah. You will not attain al-birr up until you spend from what you love. So when this ayah was revealed, Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he stands and he says, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, Allah Ta'ala, he has said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You shall not attain al-birr up until you don't spend from what you love. And indeed, the most beloved of my wealth is Bayraha, is that orchard, the orchard opposite the masjid. And indeed, I am giving it as a sadaqah for Allah Ta'ala, hoping it's birr, hoping it's dhukhr, hoping that Allah Ta'ala will give me the results of it, hoping that Allah Ta'ala, He will store it and reward me for it in the afterlife. And so the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, bah, ذاك مال رابح, ذاك مال رابح. He said, well done, that is a profitable wealth, that is a profitable wealth. This is the mindset that the companions with one Allah Ta'ala alayhim had. This is how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam nurtured them to be charitable, to love being charitable, to see the bigger picture of being charitable, that being charitable is a great and fantastic investment for the person who has bu'd al-nazar, for the person who has farsightedness, for the person who thinks well into the future. This is how the Sahaba were, and this is how the Salaf were. Rabi' ibn Khulthum, Rabi' ibn Khuthaym, who was a tabi'i, a great tabi'i, from the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. On a certain night, Rabi' ibn Khuthaym, he exited his house. He went outside. He went outside on a wintry night, and so it would have been cold. He went outside on a cold wintry night wearing a burnus khaz, wearing a burnus, a hooded cloak that was furry, a nice furry hooded cloak. And when he went outside, he saw a man that was asking, a man that was begging. He saw a beggar. Do you know what Rabi' ibn Khuthaym did at this point? Do you know what he did on this cold night, this dark night, this wintry night? On that night, that dark night, he takes off his garment. On that cold wintry night, he takes off his hooded cloak and he gives it to that man. He gives it to that sa'il, he gives it to the beggar. And then he recites the ayah from the book of Allah, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You shall not attain birr, you shall not attain righteousness, you shall not attain the results of being righteous, you shall not attain al-jannah until you give from what you love. It does not mean that you have to give the thing that you love the most. Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he did the most superior thing. He did the most superior thing. He ended up giving the thing that he loved the most. That is how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam nurtured them. That is how the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam embedded love of being generous for the sake of Allah in their hearts. This ayah, it directs you to spending from what you love. Among all the things that you love, spend something from it. It does not have to be the thing that you love the most. If you spend in the path of Allah the thing that you love the most, then that is the highest level, that is the highest degree. Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he embedded in the hearts of the companions the characteristic of being generous, loving to be generous, and he nurtured them not to be stingy and not to fear poverty. He alayhi salatu wasalam, he said to Bilal, anfiq Bilal, spend O Bilal, anfiq Bilal wa la takhsha min dhil arshi iqlala, spend Bilal and don't fear from the possessor of the great throne any deficiency, any lack of rizq coming to you, any depletion of your wealth. The hadith being authenticated by Al-Albani in As-Sahiha. Rather, Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, he clearly said to us, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِنْ مَالٍ. Charity does not decrease wealth. The hadith being recorded by Imam Muslim. We have the wrong mentality. We have things upside down. Increase and decrease of our wealth, it's in the hands of Allah. We think giving means decrease, but it doesn't necessarily. We think withholding our wealth, keeping our wealth, it means saving, but it doesn't necessarily. Allah Jalla wa Ala, he says in the hadith Qudsi reported by Al-Bukhari, from the hadith of Abi Hurayrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah Jalla wa Ala, he said in the hadith Qudsi, anfiq ya bana Adam, unfiq alayh, spend O son of Adam, and I will spend upon you. All you have to be is patient. It takes patience to depart from your wealth. Train yourself, accustom yourself in being patient in departing from your wealth, and then you will enjoy the great and tremendous benefit of being that generous man, of being that generous woman. If you spend in the path of Allah, do you think Allah will increase you in poverty? Abadan. Allah Jalla wa Ala, he tells us clearly, and explicitly, أنفق يا ابن آدم أنفق عليك, spend, O son of Adam, and I will spend upon you. Rather, our Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, he gave us a very, very clear, explicit example of how Allah Ta'ala can provide for a person with a charitable person. In that famous narration of Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, recorded by Imam Muslim, where there was a man out in the wilderness and he heard a certain voice from the clouds, and the voice said, water the land of so and so. Clouds they slinked aside, rainwater fell from those clouds. The rain water fell on a stony ground. From that stony ground, the rain water went into one of the channels, from the water channels of that land. So this person, this witness, he was curious to see where this water is going to go. So he followed that channel. He keeps on following that channel until he sees at the end of it a man. He sees a man, and that man has a hatchet and he is diverting the course that water is flowing in. Then he says to the person, he says to him, what's your name? So the person replies, my name is so and so. Why do you ask? He said, because I heard a voice from the clouds, and the voice said, water the land of so and so, mentioning your name. So what do you do to receive such a favor from Allah Ta'ala? So the person, he says, now that you are mentioning it, yani the thing that comes to my mind is that I take my yield, I take the gains, the profits that I gain. I take my profits. And then he told him that he divides them into three. He gives a third in charity. He keeps a third for himself and his family. And the other third he puts back as an investment. There you go, Ya Abu. Clear-cut example. What more do you want? This is something that came from the one who does not speak from his own accord. Rather, it's revelation being conveyed unto him. Your Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam gives you a clear-cut example of why you should not fear poverty. Don't fear giving. Don't fear being generous. Don't fear being someone who has to, who's going to depart from his wealth. Because if you do so for the sake of Allah, Allah Ta'ala, He will never deprive you. Rather, Allah Ta'ala will increase you in your rizq, increase you in your sustenance. Now we're going to briefly pause concerning the topic of generosity and speak concerning another very important matter that is very much connected to the matter of generosity. Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was once asked by a man about what are the most beloved places to Allah and what are the most detestable of places to Allah. The famous hadith, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam informed the man that he doesn't know. He said, La adri hatta as'al Jibreel. I don't know. Let me ask Jibreel until I ask Jibreel. So he asked Jibreel, and Jibreel alayhi salam informed him that the most beloved of places to Allah upon the earth are the masajid. Are the masajid of Allah. The narration being authenticated by Al-Albani in Sahih Targhib. These masajid, Ya Abdullah, these masajid, they are the most beloved of places to Allah. Why? Why are they the most beloved of places to Allah? Because the most beloved matter to Allah, the most beloved command that Allah has commanded with, is His Tawheed, is to single Him out in what is unique to Him, in what is unique to Him of actions, and what is unique to Him in worship, to direct every single act of our worship to our Rabb subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fulfill the right of our Rabb. This is the most beloved of matters to Allah Jalla wa'az. This is the most beloved command of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very reason why we are here, why we exist, is for the establishment of Tawheed. The reason as to why the scales will be set up on Yawm al-Qiyamah is for the is because of the establishment of Tawheed. Why is the bridge going to be laid across hellfire? Because of the establishment of Tawheed, because it relates to Tawheed. Why has Jannah been created? In order to reward the people of Tawheed. Why has Jahannam been created? In order for it to be a resting place for the deniers of Tawheed. Tawheed, Ya Abdullah. That is the most beloved and greatest command from Allah Ta'ala. And these masajid, these houses of Allah, the sole purpose behind them is for the establishment and the propagation of this Tawheed that is beloved to Allah Jalla wa'ala. Tawheed is established in the masajid 5 times a day when we come together in congregation and establish those 5 daily salawat. Tawheed of Allah is established in the masajid when the muadhin, he makes the adhan. Tawheed is established in the masajid when the lessons and the circles of ilm and knowledge and Tawheed and sunnah, they are established in the masjid. Tawheed is established in the masajid when the little children come to the masjid. They sit down, they open the book of Allah, they recite the book of Allah, they learn the book of Allah, they memorize, which is nothing but Tawheed from beginning to end. The masajid of Allah have been given this high, lofty rank and virtue because of the fact that they have been specified for worship, specified for the dhikr of Allah, specified for bringing the believers together, for manifesting the symbols of Islam, for the presence of the angels, as opposed to other places in this world. And therefore, when it is the case that these places, the masajid, when it is the case that these places are nothing but the summit and the peak of excellence, superiority and nobility, then it goes without saying, it's a no-brainer that building such a place and aiding in the physical establishment of such a place, it likewise carries a similar degree of virtue and reward for you, the slave, servant of Allah. And as you're all aware, that you have a fantastic opportunity before you, a great and mighty opportunity while you're still here, while you're still breathing and living. And only Allah Ta'ala knows how long you have. You have here a noble cause, a great and tremendous project that is being established by our noble brothers at Markaz Abdullah Ibn al-Mubarak, the establishment of a masjid, the house of Allah, a place that will have combined within it all of these virtues that were mentioned and many, many more. You can play a role in that. You can have a share of that. You can have a portion of that. The opportunity is in front of you right now. Just think specifically about this masjid. The great opportunity that is giving you. A masjid that is going to be established in a land of disbelief. In a land needs, a land that needs, daily needs, a place like this that will direct them and pull them and guide them to Allah Ta'ala and accommodate them in worshipping Allah and establishing the haqq of Allah, the right of Allah Ta'ala. Not just that, but specifically this masjid here, look at the city that it's being established in. A city that is one of the biggest and largest cities in the dunya. A city that has the whole dunya's eyes upon it. A city that is one of the most diverse and cosmopolitan cities in the world. A city that is one of the busiest cities of the world, with people coming in and out and in and out in their hundreds, in their thousands. Such a city, if it has a noble cause, a noble project like this, that is an opportunity that perhaps people in their graves right now are crying, wishing that they would have capitalized and seized such an opportunity, grabbed such an opportunity when they had a chance to do so, when they were alive. Think about the doorways that will be open if and when this masjid is established. Think about it. A place like South London, a place so diverse like it, a place that has so many people that in reality are living in darkness, and they need a place that will guide them and direct them and provide them with a place where they can establish the right of Allah upon the sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine how many doorways it's going to open. Imagine the multitude of people that will be guided and can be guided as a result of the existence of such a masjid. People that may enter this masjid, embrace the sunnah, embrace Islam as a result of that masjid being there, and then perhaps some of those people will one day become beacons of light for others. Therefore, Ya Abdullah, the opportunity for you right now, while you're still breathing, while you're still alive, it is azeem. It is great. One very important point before we close needs to be mentioned. In fact, this is probably the most important point for you individually. And that is that Allah Jalla wa Ala, if He has will for this masjid to be purchased, to be built, to be established one day, if He's will that, then that is going to happen. And He will bring out the asbab. He will bring out the means, the causes, the ways for this masjid to be established. If He's willed it to happen, it's going to happen. He'll bring about the people that will bring about the establishment of the masjid. He'll bring about the causes. But the honor for you as an individual is if He decrees for you to be from those who are instrumental in establishing this masjid. And what a shame, what a loss it will be for you as an individual if He decrees for you not to have any role, not to have any play, not to have any hand in the establishment of this masjid, even by a pound, while you still have the ability and the opportunity of doing so. Al-Sha'bi, Imam Al-Sha'bi rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, "من لم يرى نفسه إلى ثواب الصدقة أحوج من الفقير إلى صدقته فقد أبطل صدقته وضرب بها وجهه." He said that the person who doesn't see that he is more in need of the reward of giving in charity than the need that the poor person has of the charity, this type of person, he has rendered his charity null and void. And he has hit his face with the charity. He's thrown the charity back in his face. You, Ya Abdullah, you need that charity, i.e. to give that charity more than the cause that you're going to be donating it in. Reality is, Ya Abdullah, you are to donate for yourself. You're donating for yourself. You're spending for yourself. It's for your own self that you're doing this. On the micro scale, it's for yourself. On the bigger picture, yes, we're working together in order to have this masjid established for the great and lofty objectives that are behind establishing a masjid in South London. But you as an individual, you're doing it for yourself. There's a reason that is specific to yourself that you're doing, because at the end of the day, we're all by ourselves. Every man is for himself. Every woman is for herself. We will realize it on that day, the day of standing. On the day that Allahu Jalla wa Ala, He describes in His book, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ شَأْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ. The day when a person is going to flee from his brother and his mother and his father, flee from his wife, flee from his children. Why? Because on that day, every person will have something that is keeping him preoccupied. Every single person's going to be bothered about himself. A person will be by himself. Every man for himself. And so you're giving sadaqah, Ya Abdullah, for yourself. It's just a fantastic opportunity that's in front of you right now. That's all, but it's for you. On an individual level, it is for you. Therefore, remind yourself of that statement of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. You're doing it for yourself. Save yourself from the fire. Even by half a date, by giving half a date in charity. And do not let grand opportunities pass you by, lest you be from the people in the afterlife that will be crying out in regret, screaming out and remorse for having missed such opportunities. Remind yourself with the statement of Allah Jalla wa Ala, وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمْ الْمَوْتِ. Spend from what we have provided you with before death comes to one of you. وَيَقُولُ رَبِّي لَوْ لَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيمٍ. And that person will then say, my Rabb, delay my death for a short period of time. وَأَصَدَّقَ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. So that I can give in charity and be from the righteous. وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. And Allah, He shall never delay the death of a soul when its appointed time has arrived. وَاللَّهُ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is well aware of what you do. I ask Allah Ta'ala بِأَسْمَائِهِ الْحُسْنَى وَصِفَاتِهِ الْعُلَى that He blesses the brothers in Markaz Mu'adh ibn Jabal, He blesses the brothers in Markaz Abdullah ibn Mubarak in this great and noble effort of theirs and the great and noble cause of theirs. I ask Him that He blesses the teachers, our teacher and my older brother, Ustadh Abu Talha Tahir. And likewise, He blesses our teacher and my beloved brother and my dear companion and friend, Abi Abdurrahman Ustadh Abdul Hakim Mitchell, that He aids them and that He strengthens them and that He strengthens the brothers and sisters with them, and that He grants you a community of brothers and sisters who will aid you and that will support you and work hard with you in attaining this great and lofty, noble objective. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.